right now on VFN TV. We're going to take a look at the American economy and the global economy, how well it's doing since President Trump took office. You're going to be really blessed and surprised. We also have a VFN KB success secret that's going to encourage you. And finally, we're going to listen to Bill Gates and look at what's really taking place, because people are getting healthier on the earth and people are concerned about overpopulation. And he's saying they won't do it. Why do wealthy people stop having children? We'll look at all that and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining us today, of course, is John Ramos.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing great.
I just want to say, go ahead.
No, I'm excited about our audience. I'm excited about all the things that we're getting ready to share in today's program.
Yes.
And we love hearing from you. So always make sure you connect with us, as we're excited to be connecting with you.
Yeah, and I just want to say thank you for joining us. You know, thank you for being a part of our community.
Yeah.
And it just means so much to us to hear from you. And on these pertinent topics, it's so important to hear what's going on, because so many things are taking place. On this week's program, we're going to have to hear from somebody that talked about, you know, why our president has to use Twitter, because the mainstream media will not allow truth to come out.
Yeah. Not only that, but let your voice be heard. We have the technology today so that your voice can be heard, and we want to help share your voice. This is our conversation we're having together.
And it's not about any political party. It's not about any particular nation. It's about our God and how He's blessing the earth and what He's done.
No
and as a matter of fact, this is so interesting, because there's two leaders right here in the economy. They know exactly what's happening in the economy. You know, one is, of course, the CEO for American Express,
Kenneth Chenault.
And also the other is, he's head of BlackRock, right? Investments.
And Larry his name Fink.
Is Larry Fink. And so they're being asked, you know, about the economy. And I thought it was pretty interesting, because they were trying to beat around the bush, you know, and without saying, actually, since President Trump came in office, the whole globe is doing better. The whole global economy is doing better. See, retirement plans, which are 401ks, are up. Everything's up, but they couldn't say that. You know,
it wasn't too long ago that remember we're talking about Greece. Remember we're talking about Greece, about literally just being the first domino in the chain of this global meltdown with Europe, and you know, with the Brexit and all that.
Senator Rubio, you know, from Florida, said that America will soon be like Greece if we don't do something about it. And guess what? You know, something was done about it.
We did something about it.
Yes, America did something about it, and the world is benefiting. So first, this is Larry Fink. He's the CEO of BlackRock, and he's being interviewed. He's being asked the question, you know, what do you think now that the president's been in? This is just a little bit within the first year of his presidency. And these are the people making money now, because President Trump is, and his policies are in office. Let's go there now.
Okay, let me ask you a semi-political question. This is Donald Trump earlier this week on Twitter. The reason our stock market is so successful is because of me. Greg Ipp in today's paper says Mr. Trump should be giving thanks, not taking credit. Who's right?
Well, I don't want to. I think that China is right, Japan is right, Europe is right, the private sector of America is right, and the president has given more confidence in some business through some deregulation that's allowed, you know, you're seeing more spending by some companies. And so I would say there are many parts of the world that have created this atmosphere. And I would say the United States is partly contributing to this.
I would say the world's biggest economy and the president.
Some regulation? Some?
We're going to be the number one producer, John.
Yeah.
This year, the reports are, we'll be the number one producer of oil in the world.
That's unheard of.
And it's coming out of Texas. Most of it's coming out of Texas.
That's so amazing. That's
fracking.
That's a blessing.
It is. And it's been there all along. We've been using other people's resources in their country. This is important, because we're no longer will be held captive by what's happening in the Middle East.
That's right.
We can make authentic decisions. And one of the things about the Middle East, I think about Israel. You know, Israel is going to be totally independent from any need of any nation, including America, really soon.
Yeah.
Because they're finding resources. They're moving over to, I believe, natural gas.
Natural gas. Plus, they also found oil
Yes.
Under the Golden Heights.
And that's why you're looking at Russia coming in from up. It's Syria, the northern parts of Israel.
Careful, careful.
Yes, it's not going to happen. So you're looking at, this is an investor, you know, that he's trying to beat around the bush. China's not doing good. If America's not doing good. China is a communist nation that actually basically will kill your third child if you have a child. For a long time, they would kill the second child because they only let you have one for a season. But then this is the whole country's like this. That if they said, okay, we're going to start letting everybody have two children. Well, let you have two children, which means if you have the third children, some of the reports are, and we've seen some of the video, they take the child, and not every case, they take the child and put the child underwater to kill the child right there at the place of birth.
Those are the people they kill, but the ones that are alive, I've seen, you know, on videos and presentations of the factory workers. It's a compound. It's a complex. Yeah. I mean, it's a way of life. And these people, the Chinese citizens, they're working like crazy to produce things for us.
So you have, you know, the Sphinx man, you know, he's talking about, you know, you heard the CEO of BlackRock say China's doing good. China's, listen, the people don't even own the land underneath them. Yeah. It's all owned by the government. And Xi,
well, close to
the parliament just voted him in. They did the vote. Okay. So now he has the same powers as Mao, and he's an emperor. You know, the reports are now. And so how can you compare China to America in regards to, and he came around the end, he says, you know, obviously America's deregulation and things that are happening, which is the Paris Agreement has been ended where they're going to transfer our wealth to the world.
He was the lone leader who said no.
Yeah.
And it was because, you're right, it was American taxpayers' money. It was going to go completely overseas.
And if it was good for America, you would have kept it.
Right.
But it's like, it's just transferring our money around the world. Which could have happened if God would not have had mercy. That's what America was facing.
Yeah.
You know, America didn't deserve the mercy that God gave us. But, hey, you can't say that he didn't give us mercy. I mean, God has a destiny for America. He has some things that he wants to accomplish with America, and thank God because of the covenant spoken over America.
I believe one of those words, I think it's 2016, was a turnaround year.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the election. It was a turnaround year, and who knew that our nation was going to turn around that fast? And it's only, I mean, been a year and a half.
And we had to prophesy for so long about what God was saying. And when you're prophesying about things, you know, based on my experience, God's showing you, you know, what's going on, but you're speaking what God wants to go on. So you're seeing what is, while you're speaking what will be if people respond to God.
That's right.
And so you don't, I mean, you're walking up to the edge of the cliff and you're still saying, God wants to bless America, but we got to turn around and, like, you don't know if you're going to go over or not.
Well, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people humble themselves and pray. It's a big if.
Yeah, and he says, I will, you know, let a nation rise up or I'll take a nation down. And so when you look at that, you know, it takes a while to shift to the point like, okay, God responded, let's get our...
Is this really happening?
You know, and it's amazing what's going on. I mean, it is amazing. Nothing but the hand of God could be doing this in the world. Of course, you know, this right here, this is actually the same interview going on with
CEO.
Kenneth Chenault. He's the CEO of American Express. And understand, American Express is probably the best one to find out consumer confidence and how things are working. And so they're asking him the same question, you know, right after, you know, the CEO of BlackRock. And he's saying, listen, you know, Trump's doing this. Since President Trump got into office, since America voted to put President Donald Trump in office and he brought his policies and his visions, and he's known as probably the only president that ever kept his promises as a candidate. Mm. He's just keeping them and keeping them.
Over-delivering.
Powerful. So let's see what the CEO of American Express has to say about the success of the economy and the concurrency of President Donald Trump's presidency at the very same time. What does he have to do with it? Check it out.
Table stakes on the economy. We talk a lot about, we see where the stock market is going. But people also talk about the real economy. You have a remarkable pulse on where the consumer is. You see it all. Where are we?
I would say, I think, overall, the consumer is in pretty good shape. But I think, as we all understand, we're not talking about a robust economy. But what is interesting, if you look around the world, the economy has been relatively stable. In a range of markets. I don't think that's happened for quite a while. And if you'd asked me a year ago, how would you feel? I would have told you I've got concerns in this region, And we're at a point in time where, in fact, things are holding up pretty well. That said, what you're seeing is a demarcation in performance because there are some companies, in fact, many companies, that have not been able to take advantage of the stability. And in fact, we're banking on seeing an improvement in the economy. And so the consumer is, they're certainly spending. We're certainly seeing that on our cards. They certainly want experiences. They like to travel. And we're seeing from a millennial perspective a strong interest both in our products and services, but also experiences and travel.
Good holiday season coming?
I'm not going to predict what the holiday season is going to be, but what I would say is that the last few quarters for us, we've been very encouraged about the spending.
So I don't know, a year ago, which is talking about under President Obama, that I never would have thought there would be stability in the government, but in the global economy. I've never seen global stability in the economy like this before. It's so powerful. People are traveling. Well, remember the reason why we didn't travel? Because we were getting beheaded around the world.
That's right.
ISIS was developing a caliphate. You know, our president at that time was saying he's trying to do something about it, and it got stronger and stronger. We're watching, you know, James Foley, a journalist, lose his head, and we're watching a British soldier get his head literally decapitated in Great Britain. Yes, it is because of the policies of our current president and what God has done in the earth. I mean, literally, yeah. They have done away with the Syrian caliphate.
ISIS, he destroyed
ISIS,
them.
Yeah, destroyed them.
Destroyed them.
And they're around.
Yeah, but he's decimated them. Not only that, let's not forget that he's traveled the entire globe making deals in Saudi Arabia, dealing with TPP, the Trade Pacific Partnership. He's dealing with NAFTA. He went over to the Asians and you know, all those countries there. Tremendous amount of deals.
Well, you went to, and we got to go to the break here, but he also went to Vietnam, and he went to the Vietnamese people, and he said, listen, we got to fix this imbalance. And they said, well, we basically have the money to do it. And he says, you buy coal, don't you? And they said, yes. Well, you need to buy it from America, from West Virginia, which totally changed the economy, and it balanced it. It's just wisdom. The prophecy was, by Kim Clement, was God would give this particular leader, whoever he put in office, to be able to give them the wisdom. Literally, I think it was called a brilliance or something that God was going to give him to be able to make these things nobody even thought of. The big thing is American Express and BlackRock are saying it's amazing economy, 401ks are up, we're blessed, the global economy is being stabilized, and it's only been a year. This is amazing. We want to hear from you. What is your comments on that? Have you gotten a pay raise? Have you seen some money, more money in your check? You know, comment below, write to us, email us, let us know, because we love hearing from you. And we want to be able to, you know, God is doing this, so we want to be able to thank God and praise God for what he's doing. Maybe you're getting a house, maybe you're able to get a car, maybe you just got a raise. Many people are getting bonuses all around. You know, let us know. Let's just share in our community about what God is doing. John?
When we get back from this break, we have a wonderful VFNKB success secret from Dave Ramsey, and you don't want to miss it.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFNTV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button, doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm so excited about this. We love to bring you VFNKB Success Secrets. Remember, God has plans for you, plans to bless you, to prosper you. His goal for you is not only to succeed, but he expects you to multiply what he's given you. And that's why we want to give you so many secrets to be able to break through in success. John?
Well, listen, we're going to go straight to Dave Ramsey because this success secret is so important because there are ways that you can sabotage your career and there's ways you can be successful. He gives you some keys to avoid. He speaks kind of English. I want you to watch this.
I hate gossip. This ticks me off more than any negative human behavior I run into. It is so destructive and it is so socially accepted. Most places are full of people that just shut up and work. Talking about each other, talking about your sex life. I don't want to hear about that crap. Get to work. You hear about so-and-so, and talking about the boss, and talking about this, and talking about the product line, and negative. I can't stand it. Drives me nuts. And I got to tell you, man, I fight it. We will not have it. I will fire your butt for this. That's how we handle it, right? Because, you know, you're messing with something we've spent unbelievable amount of time and energy creating, and you're trying to screw it up. You're the enemy. You will leave this building. We're not going to do it. And we're real clear about it. We talk about it in staff meeting. We deal with it. We're clear. We let people know what's going on with it. We're not going to do it. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. By definition, gossip is when a negative is discussed with anyone who can't solve the problem. So our deal is simply this. If you have a problem, no, I take that back. When you have a problem. Because usually we bring you in here to work on a problem. That's kind of what we do. So you are going to have problems. If you don't have any problems, you should be worried about other things because it means we probably don't need you. So you're going to have problems. And nothing is moved unless it's shoved. And when things are shoved, it creates friction. So be ready. There's 370 opportunities to find someone who doesn't like you or the way you do things. Or you to find someone that you don't like or the way they do things. When you have a problem, and you will have one, you have one option with it. Hand the problem up the food chain somewhere into leadership so they can help you fix the problem, solve the problem, fund the answer to the problem. But the receptionist can't fix this for you. And so dropping by and leaning on her desk with a cup of coffee and going, do you know? Did you hear about the new sales program that's not going to work? You get one once, and it will be a very clear and direct, and I don't even put it in writing. I don't need to because I'm not going to do it again, and it's not going to, I don't have to keep it in writing. I will warn you once, and you will change. Period.
Well, you think, you know, that's why, well, that's not really important. It's important because what happens is it's spiritual. Yeah. And once somebody starts sowing doubt in your vision, this doubt in your business and doubt in your ministry and doubt over your customers and doubt over your unity, that's literally spiritual division. The enemy's just sowing, yeah. And you can divide a whole sales force. You can divide, if you divide any of the employees from the leadership, and all of a sudden there's some little gang forming, you know, in there.
It's called a rebellion.
Well, yeah, literally.
It's called a rebellion to the vision, to the leadership, and it's destructive.
And they missed the point. It was the visionary of the business or the ministry that God has gifted to be able to.
That's why they have a job, because someone was a visionary who did some planning and stepped out and started the business, the ministry, whatever, you know.
So a success secret is, don't let anybody plant gossip in your ear, and don't let the enemy plant gossip in your heart that comes out of your mouth, because whatever your heart's full of is what comes out of your mouth. I think about Proverbs 11:13, and you're seeing this there. It says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. The thing about once you lose confidence in your company or your ministry or your relationships or your unity or your direction, and understand the enemy's going to constantly try to sow things.
That's right.
If you're selling cabinets and your people up the street are selling cabinets, and they might not be moving in the same integrity as your company is, they might come and start sowing, you know, gossip, sowing division. Hopefully that's not going to happen, but it often happens. They may even run a commercial talking about, you know, say, sowing doubt into people's hearts. But you don't let the inner circle, the people in your company, your ministry. But once you start buying into those, and literally the gossip could be straight from second heaven, Ephesians 6:12, into your heart. A fiery dart, he says, and all of a sudden you start believing it, and you get the moment you believe a lie, you know, gossip, it separates you from that which God's intended you to be blessed through.
Not only that, but now that you communicate it and you get someone to agree with you, now if any two agree on anything, it's established. You've established the lie in the company or in the ministry or in the organization. Destructive.
Yeah, and I think about this, you know, with social media and everything's going on, a lot of it's built on gossip. People are literally sniffing through people's feed lines and find out stuff about them instead of saying, you know, using it for a positive way. And so you want to think about how your company and how your business and how you are using media. Are you going to use media to be able to be positive and to be influential, or you're going to sow doubt and unbelief?
I think about Proverbs 16:28. This is what it says. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends.
That's important because, you know, friendships are very precious, you know, in life, and that, you know, the enemy doesn't like that. He doesn't like unity, period. I don't know, your enemy in the marketplace or your enemy in second heaven, they don't like the unity, and they want to be able to break that up. And if they can bring division there, then they actually win or succeed. Yeah. And the word devil, by the way, his very name means one who gets in between and divides. That's why they call that one meal that you can make called deviled eggs. It's cutting the egg in half and beating the heck out of the insides and putting it back in there. They call it a deviled
egg.
We got to go to break. One more proverb comes to mind is Proverbs 18:8. He talks about, you know, words of a gossip are like choice morsels. Choice morsels, they go down into a man's most inner parts. Mm. You have to understand that the flesh and the carnal person, the part of you that doesn't want you to succeed, that you need to, you know, tell it to sit and stay and that type of thing. That it's a sin. It's literally a temptation. It's, if you could see spiritually what's going on, you're getting slimed. And if you let it go, if you let it go into your ear, it's going to go deep into your innermost parts. And now you have to deal with it. Yeah. If you have children and the enemy's speaking into their ears and speaking gossip in their ears about their parents, or gossip in the ear about a pastor and his church, or ministry and that particular leader, or a business, I mean, you got to deal with it. And Dave Ramsey, he's very direct.
He speaks English, but it's the truth.
Yes.
It has to be dealt with.
Yeah, if you want to succeed and if you want to survive. So a success secret is you got to not be a part of it, and you got to confront gossip in your life, in your relationships, in your ministry, and in your business. Listen, we want to hear from you. Have you had a struggle with gossip, or have you actually, no gossip about people, but think about this. Share with us in the community, you know, comment below, write to us emails. Has it happened to you? Have you been divided from your destiny because the enemy sowed something like that? Or do you realize that I got to start confronting this in my family, in my life, in my business, in my ministry? We want to hear from you, John.
All right, when we get right back from this break, we're going to be hearing about why, when people are so blessed, they tend to have less children. The answer may surprise you. You don't want to miss it.
We'll be right back.
Let's talk today about a tendency for parents in Western nations to make their children grow up too quickly, rushing them through the milestones of childhood and propelling them into the pressures of adolescence. Developmental psychologist David Elkind calls this the hurried child syndrome, which is a byproduct of seemingly innocent influences at home, such as buying makeup for preschool girls, encouraging dating for preteens, treating kids like grown-ups, expecting them to make adult-level decisions, dressing them in designer clothes, and especially exposing them to explicit sexuality in movies, television, and music videos. Now, in years past, parents understood the need for an orderly progression through childhood. There were cultural markers that determined the ages at which certain behaviors were appropriate. Boys, for example, wore short pants until they were 12 or 13. Now these markers have either disappeared or they've been moved downward. Now, when you treat children as though they're grown, it becomes very difficult to set limits on their adolescent behavior down the road. How can you establish a curfew on a 13-year-old who's been taught to think of himself or herself as your peer? In short, the hurried child syndrome robs our kids of childhood and places them on an unnatural timetable that's harmful to mental and physical health. Let the kids be kids.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I wish we had more time to be able to cover these things. We're going to talk to you in a future program. It's very interesting because, you know, we're getting healthier, we're getting more blessed, more prosperous. And
life expectancy is getting longer.
Yeah, you would think, you know, that everybody's going to celebrate that and be more of what God's called us to be. But the sad thing about it is, you know, sort of like when God gave a wealth transfer to Israel, some of the folks that got that wealth transfer and they went into the wilderness, they immediately began to build a golden calf, something that they could dance around and they could focus on. They used the gold that God gave them. They were slaves. God gave them the huge wealth transfer of 2.4 million folks getting the wealth of the world, really, because it came to the world, to Egypt, to them. And the first thing they did with it, they began to build something for themselves.
It happens all the time.
It's accountability is so important. I know we're not going to be able to go cover that. But Bill Gates is going around doing some beautiful things. You know, he and his wife with helping people to be
healthy,
not suffer from malaria and AIDS. And what it means is we're getting healthier. I think they changed the health, John, by 10% in some nations.
I think Africa, I believe so.
It's just powerful. And so people are upset with him. Because they're saying that, I know we got to go, but upset with him because of the fact is he's helping people live longer, which means that it's going to be an overpopulation of the earth. And it's like, everybody that complains about that, John, why are they still here? If they're that worried about
you can exit.
Don't you go. Don't take us out. You know. Anyway, we're gonna close out in prayer right here. We want to say how much it means to us, you know, you being part of our community.
Yes.
And we just want to pray a blessing over you right now. Father God, I just thank you right now for our community, God, for our tribe, Lord God, as we're walking together, Lord. I speak a blessing over them, prosperity, God. This whole economic blessing that's been released on the face of the earth, I pray that it would come to them, Father God, and they would see it in their paychecks and see it, Father God, in their country.
Yes.
And see it, Father God, in their housing and their transportation, God, and their food, God. We just bless them, Father God, and we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that abortion has ended. Revival has come and the third great awakening is here. I just proclaim it and decree it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness. Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord and how they can spend time with God and how they can abide and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and now it's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey's being blessed, the Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed, and so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iobide.org.